Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we might think of Dublin City as being a built-up, noisy place, devoid of anything living but humans going about their business, but the reality could be nothing further from the truth. Dublin City is actually teeming with wildlife, and a lot more than the pesky seagulls or the odd fox you might spot. Of the 33 land mammals recorded in Ireland, 27 of them are recorded as calling Dublin City their home. Enniley Lown, a biologist, environmental and wildlife consultant, has documented all the wildlife in our capital in her new and updated book, Wild Dublin, and Aina is with me now. Aina, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Happy National Tree Day before we start.
You came in brandishing a bit of pine.
This is a Scots pine. This is a native Irish species because
Scots
National
pine.
Tree Day. Yes, the Irish word for it is ungoosh. It was here until the Neolithic farmers came along and cut down the forests over in the west of Ireland. And then blanket bog grew and these things were all buried inside in the peat. If you ever cut turf on the blanket bog in the west of Ireland, you'd find lumps of bog deal. And then it went extinct altogether in Ireland and they had to bring it back in the 1700s. They bought the trees, saplings in Scotland, so it was the pine tree from Scotland. So
even though it was native, in truth.
Yeah, but I mean, they were speaking English at that stage. I mean, the first letter of the OM alphabet is A, alum, the old name for Scots pine. So it's very much a native species and it's our one native evergreen. So the theme this year is planting trees for the future. In other words, building for the future. We have our forests of timber, the trees are cut down, made into planks. Glennon Brothers are our sponsor this year. And the timber framed houses contain this timber, which will hold on to the carbon for ages and ages. They're carbon sinks. Mm. So we're looking at it from that point of view.
Whenever I think of trees, and particularly on National Tree Day, I think of Lord Chesterfield and Chesterfield Avenue.
That's
in the
right,
Phoenix
the
Park.
The horse chestnuts in the Phoenix
and
Park.
Like planting trees and the majesty of those trees, you know you will never live long enough to see.
Yeah, no, the people who planted those wonderful estates never saw them. We do, in fact. Yeah. So that's what we're doing today. And so it's treeday.ie. Every primary school in the country gets a free sapling of pine, which they can plant. And it's good for wildlife. It's good for squirrels. It's good for insects. Good for bees to get propolis out of it. What's not to like about it?
Now, talk to me about the animals of Dublin City, the animals and birds, indeed, and some of the other things that grow and prosper.
Yes, indeed. This book is Wild Dublin. It came out originally in 2008 and now 70 years later O'Brien Press are publishing it again. And amazingly, the situation has improved. Normally everything's getting worse and going to hell in a handcart, but not this case.
Is that just down to foxes and seagulls?
No, not at all.
And pigeons?
Dublin has been declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site for Habitat. The only other place in Ireland that has a UNESCO heritage designation is Killarney Oak Woodlands. And it's Dublin Bay, all those waders, all of that stuff in this capital city where there's 1.5 million people. So this book is about the wildlife inside the M50. And I mean, if you look at the map there of all the rivers, look at all the rivers there are in Dublin. Mm. And these rivers are really clean. They're absolutely clean because the sewage doesn't go into the rivers any longer. When I came to Dublin, me and Finn McCool years ago, the thing was you pull the chain and in a jiffy, it all ends up in the Liffey. But it doesn't end up in the Liffey anymore. We have a pumping station down in Ringsend. The copy books that came from Sagart, you know, Clondalkin paper mills, where all that went into the Camac River, that's all gone. So we don't have farming. We don't have nitrates.
So the water, by and large,
is good.
So the
water is really clean. And the proof of the pudding is the otter, which is on the cover of the book. We have huge amounts of otters in Dublin City, which we don't see because we're not out early in the morning looking at them. But the otters are the top predators. So you have clean water, you have creepy crawlies in the water, you have fish eating the creepy crawlies, and then you have the otters and indeed the kingfishers and the herons.
So the otters, are they fishing?
Yeah, that's what they live on. But they wouldn't be there if there wasn't any fish. They're not going to Superquin to buy fish. You know, I mean, this is this, they're getting it in the rivers. So it's a good news story for those. We have new birds here that we didn't have.
Is that due to climate change?
Well, we have woodpeckers, for example. They expanded over from Wales back into Wicklow and they were down just in the woodlands in Wicklow. Mm. But they're in the Phoenix Park breeding. They're in Bushy Park. They're knocking their heads off the trees. Nothing could be them, only that. Now, the comma butterfly has spread up as well. We hadn't that before.
I didn't expect lizards to feature.
Oh, well, you see, the thing is, you must look at it from a point of view of the amount of habitats that there are. If we only have the hard streets, mean hard streets of Dublin, well, then you're looking at the creatures that live in the mean hard streets, like the pigeons, like the foxes, like the...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The swallows and swifts up in the air. But we have canals, we have ponds, people have garden ponds, Airfield has several ponds, and in these places we have pond creatures, of which newts are one of them. So we have newts in Airfield in the ponds. We have new ponds now over on the north side where they have, it's part of the drainage in Dodder Park, and they have overspill ponds there, and they're full of creatures and wildlife as well. So if you make the habitat, you get a whole new variety of biodiversity in that habitat. So we have woodland, we have wetland, we have seashore, as well as the mean hard streets. So like, yeah, that's why we have such amount of variety.
Now, foxes, are they categorised as a pest these days? There are so many of them.
Well, they are technically vermin. Vermin, foxes, vermin, yes. Technically, the way we have the Wildlife Act and things are protected, foxes are not protected under the Wildlife Act. But Dublin people love foxes. Oh, they feed them. Shouldn't feed wild animals, because what's wrong with the foxes in Dublin is they haven't got enough living space. And normally you don't have enough food, you don't have enough living space, populations regulate themselves. Mm. But if we feed the foxes, and people do all the time, then they don't have to look for food. So they're hanging around looking for somewhere to live, and we're running out of spaces for them.
You see, we thought that when the wheelie bin came along, that'd be the end of the fox, because they used to go with the plastic bags.
Did you really think, Pat Kenny, that everybody in Dublin was going to put all their rubbish into a wheelie bin and close the lid on it?
Observably not.
Well, I mean, that chance would be a fine thing. It'd be worth sacrificing.
But still, the food supply must have diminished quite dramatically at the same
time. Well, they go into Stephen's Green. If there's a fox lives in Trinity College, and he sashays up Grafton Street every night into Stephen's Green to get a few dozy hens, and comes back down again, waits for the lights to change to green, and goes back in again. So the taxi drivers swear to me that this is the case. So we do have plenty of food in Dublin for the foxes, because plastic bags thrown out with rubbish, people throw things all over the place, they feed the foxes, they come into gardens to eat the dog's dinner and that sort of thing. So we've plenty of those.
Now, we're told we're never more than 10 metres from a rat.
That's right. They're under the ground, though, in fact.
They're under the ground. We don't see them. Yeah. But where would you see them? On the canals, mostly?
Well, people used to think we had water rats, but water, there's no such thing. It's like as if, you know, it's just a rat that went
rats
swimming.
Can swim.
Are you a water human if you become going to put on your togs and went to the sea? So they will be anywhere there's food. You get them along the seashore scavenging on crabs and things like this. And of course, under the ground in the sewers where they feed on sewage. And again, they only occur where there are people. The only place where there are no rats in the whole world is in Alberta in Canada.
Why?
No rats, because they never got there, because the people got there first and put up the border at Saskatchewan. We did a whole documentary on rats for the Mooney Show at one stage. I went off to look.
But
there's plenty of them in Dublin, all right.
Paris is teeming with rats. It's horrible, but unlike Dublin, I never see foxes in Paris. Is that why there are so many rats? There's no predator.
Well, I don't know about that. Certainly, the foxes do keep the rats down here in Dublin. And we have more foxes per head of population in Dublin than any other capital city in the world, I would say. We have a lot of green space inside the M50. We have 45% of the area inside the M50 is green, between 25% for the parks and 20% for people's back and front gardens and green spaces and golf clubs and things like that. So there's plenty of greenery.
I'm getting some texts coming in. Too many foxes about at night within the M50. Horrible looking things, not like their country cousins. I saw one night eating the contents of a nappy.
Yeah. So why is he horrified at this? I mean, you know.
Cleaning the place up.
This is it indeed. Why was the contents of a nappy available for the fox to eat it? The fox didn't go off and take the nappy off the child. Consider yourself first if you were the cause of it.
I'd listen to Ain all day. She's a national treasure. You didn't think of running for the Oris, did you?
But then I wouldn't be able to come on your show and talk away like this. In fact, don't get me started on that. I'm grand the way I am.
Another one that you haven't mentioned in your book, plenty of wildlife in Dublin, mostly flying up and down on e-scooters.
Well, that's Scalella, her father. I'm not going there. Have your listeners nothing more positive to contribute?
Okay, talk to me about, and I'm familiar with the existence of these lovely creatures, the badgers.
Yeah, they're great now, indeed. Now, badgers are more sort of circumspect than the foxes.
And they're very social animals within their own communities.
And mammy is in charge, so the young fella has to get a haircut and a job and move out. So you get places with sets going back generations. In fact, in parts of Ireland, place names are called after badgers, even Donnybrook, Donutbrock, the sanctuary of the badger, or Clonbrock or Pulbrock, all of these things coming after the badger itself. So we have them in places where, like the Phoenix Park along rivers, but not so much in people's gardens. You wouldn't have them in such a small space. But they're lovely animals. They come into people's lawns to dig up the lawns to eat earthworms, because 40% of their diet is earthworms. And people ring up the Mooney Show, how do you get rid of badgers? And we say, we're a wildlife programme, not a wild death programme. And you should be delighted to have them. What do you got a lawn for anyway? Only to feed badgers with some use out of it.
So, I mean, it's a struggle for them to survive as more and more of their
grazing. Yes, there used to be a lot of them along the old Harcourt Street railway line, but that turned into the Lewis, and that discommoded a lot of them that were in that area. That was a lovely wildlife corridor all the way through.
They moved into leafy suburban gardens,
didn't they? Well, into Airfield and into places like that. I mean, if their garden is big enough to be that big, it's great. No, badgers are great. And again, they don't do us any harm. They don't bite your leg and hold on to the bone breaks. This is all raw meat that people go on with.
Now, is there a bad news story in the red squirrel within the M50?
Well, the problem is that in the last book, which came out in 2007, the red squirrel was on the cover because it did exist in St. Anne's Park. And that one is no longer within the M50 now. They have it in Killiney and they have it in Bray, but not, and they have it in Howth, but not inside the M50. It became extinct. But we have huge amounts of grey squirrels and they have expanded to the detriment of the red.
Now, isn't it that they can eat the food earlier before it's ripe and therefore they starve the red squirrel
out? Yeah, they eat all the acorn. I mean, squirrels don't hibernate. Squirrels are collecting stuff at the moment because they're awake during the winter to eat it. Why would you go shopping if you were going to be gone? So they have all these things. So when the poor reds go looking for acorns, the other crowd have them all gone, have them all saved up, and that's what's the problem.
Now, there's a project on Killiney Hill trying to get the red squirrel back.
Oh, yes, and they did a good job on that. They introduced them up from Wexford, and we interviewed the squirrels at length for the Mooney Show. They had to be caged and they were feeding them. Was all great, and then everybody was there, the mayor, everything. And then the great moment came when they opened the cages and the squirrels wouldn't come out. They were staying in there. Everybody got fed up waiting for them and went home, and when everybody was gone the squirrels came out. They're still there, they're still working.
That's okay. On Killiney Hill, and you point
but a good
to
thing is a good thing is that we now have records of pine martens within the M50, and they're the dreaded enemy of the red, of the grey squirrel rather. They've cleared out grey squirrels in other parts
and
of Ireland.
Can they live harmoniously with the red?
Well, the red squirrels aren't eagles, and they know that these are their enemy. But the American greys have no corporate memory of pine martens being their enemy because they don't exist in America. So they think, oh, what's that? And they get eaten because they're gums. But the reds are up and gone. Like,
it's always a difficult thing to do, though, to introduce a predator.
Well, they weren't introduced. I mean, they seem to have either come down the coast or come in.
But you know what I mean? When you're trying to introduce a predator to get rid of a pest, you never know what you might create.
You can create a mess. If they come in naturally, that's fine. So maybe the next book, maybe I'll have...
I just did my daily two laps of Deer Park in Mount Merion. Definitely fewer grey squirrels this year.
Well, that's good. I mean, because they do great damage to trees. They have the Phoenix Park destroyed. When the trees are 15 years of age, they eat the bark. I mean, what do you think they eat when they're not eating nuts? They only eat nuts in the autumn. They eat the bark of trees. They eat the buds. They destroy trees. So it's good if we don't have them. They're not. They're an invasive species.
The increase in the number of red kites has been fantastic. They're almost into South Dublin. That's according to Peter.
Well, that's it. They were introduced back into Wicklow and Wexford. They're birds of prey, and they're doing really well in Avondale. And they're a woodland species. So the more woodlands we have, the more they'll come.
An interesting one from Jason in Churchtown in Cork. Green parakeets are now common in the major cities in England, have now been seen in Dublin. Do you know anything about
that? That's a disgrace. We were talking to Niall Hatch about that on our programme one time. These are these big, people think, oh, they're lovely big green birds. They're parrots. And again, an invasive species. You get flocks of them in Brussels. You get flocks of them.
And what do they kill?
Well, it's not so much that, but they push out
probably
other things.
Probably kill small birds.
No, they're seed eaters. I don't think they're carnivores. But they take up habitat that should be for with the other birds. They're an invasive species. They shouldn't be here because they're not in harmony with the around. But they are. Some people think, oh, it's great, let them go. I mean, they didn't fly all the way here from England. Someone let them go here. You know, and that's appalling.
Well, Aina, look, thank you very much for joining us. The book,
it's great.
A reissue of the old book.
That's
but
right.
It's much updated.
Yeah, and I have lovely pictures in it. Anthony Woods did the pictures in the first one, but the pictures in these have been augmented with local photographers who very kindly gave me pictures that they'd taken themselves. People like Robert O'Leary, people, you know, who sent in pictures of comma butterflies, who sent in pictures, wonderful pictures of kingfishers, because there's a whole club along by the River Dodder with a lens on the camera from here to Cork, and they can get the feathers on things, lovely pictures, and they all very kindly gave them to me for free for the book, and they're acknowledged in the book. So it's greatly enhanced, well worth it. What else would you be buying for Christmas, Pat?
Absolutely. Wild Dublin is called Exploring Nature in the City. It's published by O'Brien Press, and its author, Aina Lilana. Aina, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.